55. There is a large ladder of religious atrocities with many rungs, but three of them are the most important. First, people sacrifice human beings to their gods, perhaps even the ones whom they loved best. Here belong the sacrifices of the firstborn in all prehistoric religions, also the sacrifice of Emperor Tiberius in the grotto to Mithras on the island of Capri, that most terrible of all Roman anachronisms. Then, in the moral ages of humanity, people sacrificed to their gods the strongest instincts which man possessed, his nature. This celebratory joy sparkles in the cruel glance of the ascetic, the enthusiastic, anti-natural man. Finally, what was still left to sacrifice? Didn't people finally have to sacrifice everything comforting, holy, healing, all hope, all belief in a hidden harmony, in future blessedness and justice? Didn't people have to sacrifice God himself, and, out of cruelty against themselves, worship stone, stupidity, gravity, fate, nothingness? To sacrifice God for nothingness, this paradoxical mystery of the last act of cruelty, is saved for the generation which is coming along right now. We already know something about this. 56. Someone who, like me, has with some enigmatic desire or other made an effort for a long time to think profoundly about pessimism, and to rescue it from the half-Christian, half-German restrictions and simplicity with which it has most recently appeared in this century, that is, in the form of Schopenhauer's philosophy, a person who really has, with an Asian and super-Asiatic eye, looked into and down on the most world-denying of all possible ways of thinking, beyond good and evil, and no longer, as Buddha and Schopenhauer do, under the spell and delusion of morality. Such a man has perhaps in the process, without really wanting to do so, opened his eyes for the reverse morality, for the ideal of the most high-spirited, most lively, and most world-affirming human being, who has not only learned to come to terms with and accept what was and is, but wants to have what was and is come back for all eternity, calling out insatiably da capo from the beginning, not only to himself, but to the entire play and spectacle, and not only to a spectacle, but basically to the man who needs just this spectacle and who makes the spectacle necessary, because over and over again he needs himself and makes himself necessary. How's that? Wouldn't this be circulus vitiosus deus, God as a vicious circle? 57. With the power of his spiritual glance and insight, the distance and, as it were, the space around man expand. His world becomes deeper. New stars and new riddles and pictures always come into his view. Perhaps everything on which the eye of his spirit practiced its astuteness and profundity was just an excuse for exercise, a matter of play, something for children and childish heads. Perhaps one day the most solemn ideas, the ones over which we have fought and suffered the most, the idea of God and sin, will seem to us no more important than a children's toy or childish pain appears to an old man, and perhaps then the old man will need again another children's toy and another pain, always still sufficiently a child, an eternal child.